KGRGFM, KGRGFM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP 70 Lake Taps 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and this is our last show of 2016. That's a little weird to think about. This year, more than any other year I can think of, has been that year where, like, people can't wait for it to be over. The only time I can remember even remotely feeling like that is, like, my senior year of high school, maybe, or, like, even just school in general, where, like, every year was a year closer to being done. This year, there's no particular reason, man. People just want to be done between just all the weird stuff that's happened this year, between all the people that passed away, all the gorillas that passed away. Memes got a little weird, too. So, you know what? So long. That's all I gotta say to 2016, but you know what? We have one more show to do this year, and it's gonna be an awesome one. We got the return of the Mixtape Remix happening this morning. We have a very special Price is Wrong. We got your geeky news at 6:20. You got your news every hour on the hour, your regular news, and this isn't that fake news either. Still don't get that, but whatever. And really excited. Stay tuned all morning to 89.9 KGRGFM. You're listening to The Buzz. We got Green Star by Paris coming up next.
Geeky News.
89.9 KGRGFM. You're listening to The Buzz at 6:20.
Yeah.
So that means it's time for Geeky News. Good morning, Danica.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm tired.
Getting your, like, fingers cut on your cocaine phone or whatever?
Yeah.
That sounds like fun. Sounds like a good time. Not really, though. But, you know what? I got something to cheer you up.
Oh.
It's super good news. Like, okay. Super good geeky news.
Okay.
So a lot of celebrities have died this year.
Yeah.
We actually lost one more yesterday, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. That one, like, really rattled me, because I found out who she was and, like, what else she's been in that I know her from, and oof. It was tough.
Yeah.
But luckily, there's a guy who successfully crowdfunded the mission to protect Betty White.
I know.
From 2016.
Put that woman in a bunker.
All 2 days that are left. Oh, man. But a man has successfully crowdfunded his mission to keep Betty White alive at least until the end of 2016. UpRocks reports that South Carolina resident Demetrius Hyzoskis, afraid of the brutal year for celebrities would claim yet another victim, set up a GoFundMe account to protect the actress from now until 2017, which is only a couple of days. In his campaign, Hyzoskis vowed to fly to wherever White goes and make sure she's all right.
Aww.
Hyzoskis acknowledged that the former Golden Girls star may not want some random dude trailing her for days and has an alternative plan for the money he's raised. Quote, now, assuming she doesn't want a strange geek standing outside standing guard outside her door, all monies will be donated to Spartanburg Little Theater to help craft new stars of stage and screen to carry the mantle of legends that I've left behind this year. Whether the whole thing is real or just a stunt to get the trend to help this local theater, it worked. Hyzoskis met his goal $2,000 in just under a day and kept the number steadily growing as the day goes on. So let's hope Betty White keeps chugging along in 2017. But still, that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
At least the money's going to a good place, even, like, if he doesn't actually end up saving Betty White. Which, if he did, that'd be dope. Like, he goes out, uses the money to buy one of those defibrillator machines, just, like, clear! That'd be dope.
That would be dope.
Next news story we got. We actually watched a video similar to this. But somebody decided to see what Star Wars A New Hope would look like if it was sped up every time someone fires a laser.
Okay.
A YouTuber going by the name of Lord Awesome has placed the entirety of A New Hope in a single video and sped up the footage every time a laser is fired. So every time a TIE fighter fires at an X-Wing, Han Solo's blaster goes off, or any other laser flies across the screen, the entire movie increases in speed until it's like a little more than impeccable, like you can't see anything. You might be surprised how quickly the whole thing goes by. Especially, like, at the end when all, or, like, even at the beginning when, like, all the stormtroopers are, like, firing at the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
And they're all missing. Every time one of those guys fires, like, it's another speed up. And I kind of get the appeal to these videos, I guess. I can't say I completely get it, but when we watched the B1, I guess it was kind of funny.
I kind of want to watch it that way.
Now, the only question, like, people have been asking me, and I haven't been able to answer, is like, who has the time to do this stuff? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, who's got the time to go through the movie and even the elaborate stuff where, like, every time somebody says B in the B movie, it plays the entire Shrek movie or something? Have you seen those?
They've gotten
pretty elaborate. Like, I think the one we watched is, like, they took the word B in, like, every scene of a B out of the B movie.
I think we talked about that with Natalie.
Yeah. Like, who has time for that? I don't have time for that. Like, I barely had time to watch it, man. It's just weird.
It's a weird place.
But congrats to that guy, I guess. Next geeky news story. This one came out of nowhere. Do you know what Homestar Runner is?
Yes.
Well, they're returning with a new episode.
Okay.
Based on a 20-year-old script. I can't believe it's been 20 years.
Yeah, that's weird.
Right? But if you're looking for your daily dose of internet nostalgia, look no further. There's a new episode of Homestar Runner featuring Homestar, Strong Bad, and an unreleased script from 1996. If you're on the internet before YouTube was the site for videos, you remember these videos. In this short, Homestar and Strong Bad read an unreleased story from the creators of the book written way back in the day. Watching this, you know what? It's going to take you back. And it'll be interesting to see people who never really knew what Homestar Runner is, see how they react. Because if it goes over well, I'm hoping that means they're bringing it back.
Yeah.
Like, this is definitely something I would go back and watch the old episodes. I might have to when I get home later. But I'm definitely going to need to watch this one. And we're going to post a link up on our Twitter and our Facebook in case you want to watch it too. Last geeky news story I got. And this one I saw yesterday after the show. And I was so disappointed we didn't talk about it yesterday. But we're trying to talk about it this morning.
Okay.
Deadpool is rumored to make an appearance in Logan.
Oh.
Like the new Wolverine movie?
Yes.
Yeah. We had some intriguing news regarding an upcoming Wolverine film, Logan. According to The Wrap, Ryan Reynolds has shot a scene for the movie as Deadpool. So the scene's already been shot. This is just a rumor, though, but an inside source tells them that the Deadpool scene in Logan will most likely become a post-scene credit. As awesome as it would be to see Deadpool make an appearance in the movie, it doesn't look like it's the kind of film to fit him in, though. Logan looks like a very serious and dramatic film, which isn't Deadpool style. It looks like throwing Deadpool into the mix wouldn't work effectively, as he would bring in some hilarious humor that might break the dramatic vibe. But who knows? Maybe Logan won't be as completely dramatic as the first trailer made it out to be, or maybe Deadpool will have a dramatic moment that fits the tone. There's no information on how Deadpool's scene will play out, but if it's actually in the movie, then we'll just have to wait and see exactly how the character will be included. In the meantime, we'll see how he does it with his own second film, right?
Yeah.
Now, the reason I'm excited for this one is, like, Deadpool was a pretty serious movie. It had its funny parts. In fact, it was kind of a comedy. But overall, it got pretty dark, man. You've seen Deadpool, right?
Yes.
So you remember, like, the scene where, like, the building's burning around him, or, like, even the fights got pretty serious.
Yes.
So I can see Deadpool getting fit into this movie and actually being a part of it. This is really exciting that they actually used Ryan Reynolds, too. Yeah, that was your geeky news. We got your regular news coming up in about 3 minutes after 333 by Against Me. It's 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by Voodoo Glow Skulls. On January 10th, you can go there. I don't know what I'm saying, Corey.
We got tickets for the show, man.
I don't know.
At least you tried.
I tried so hard.
At least you tried.
But in the end.
If you want to win tickets to go see the Voodoo Glow Skulls, holy cow, I could not speak this morning.
Yeah, I couldn't say that. That was very hard to say.
That's going to be January 10th at Elk Horror Zone. Call us at 253-833-5004. It's going to be one of the first shows of the year, unless you count, like, those New Year's Eve shows, and those really don't count. It's going to be a ton of fun. Like, those guys rock, and the rest of the lineup's going to be pretty tight, too. Stay tuned all morning long if you want those pairs of tickets. Again, it's free. All you have to do to win is call 253-833-5004. Let's get into some news, shall we?
Okay. Oh.
There you go. Looks like somebody wants to go. So while Danica grabs that, I'll read off our first news story, which, you know what? We'll save the depressing one for a second. Why not? Good news is, though, 2017 is going to bring a higher minimum wage in Washington. A statewide minimum wage will increase from $9.47 to $11 per hour, which is more than a 16% jump, and, you know, that's pretty dope. Cairo 7 spoke with business owners in Seattle who have been dealing with higher minimum wage since the city began phasing one in April 2015. Many employees in the city will make at least $13 an hour in 2017. Seattle pizza shop owner Zagofsky Mochev has a warning for the rest of the state, though. He said, quote, "It's very difficult to survive with this minimum wage. It's not good for us and the employees." And he said he's already had to lay people off at his restaurant at Monte Pizza and Pasta. He may soon have to raise prices. However, Molly Moon-Nitzel, who owns Seattle's popular chain of ice cream shops, supported the minimum wage increase in both Seattle and statewide. I mean, as somebody who lives in the state and is constantly, like, trying to pay rent and stuff, $11 an hour is pretty dope. It's definitely a step in the right direction, but I also understand where small business owners come from, because I do work for a privately owned business. Like, one of my jobs, yeah, it's just owned by some guy, and he comes in all the time, really nice guy, and it's his money on the line. So, again, I'm excited for the raise, but at the same time, hopefully that means that it's going to transfer into more sales for these companies who are going to have to shell out a little bit more. Next news story I got. Robbers got away with $60,000, $60,000 worth of cookies, crackers from a Winston warehouse. Detectives are still trying to solve the disappearance of $60,000 worth of Nabisco cookies and crackers from two containers that were stolen from a Winston warehouse on Thanksgiving. The Broadwood Sheriff's Office on Thursday released surveillance video of the November 24th robbery at a warehouse located at 1700 North Commerce Parkway. Employees noticed the containers were missing when they returned to work on Friday after the holiday. Security video shows a dark-colored four-door car and two white tractor trucks entering the parking lot. According to the sheriff's office, the trucks were then hooked onto two 48-foot trailers and driven away. The trailers were emptied and found 2 days later in Hialeah. The dash camera of one of those two trailers captured the face on one of the last three thieves as he attempted to cover the camera with a cloth, and the sheriff's office said.
Oh, man.
Right? Like,
talk
about a case of the munchies having to steal, like, $60,000 worth of, like... So this is Nabisco, so you're looking like Oreos and Chips Ahoy. Like, these aren't bad cookies, man. What would you do with $60,000 worth of cookies, Danica? Like, what would anybody do with that? Do you go and do some sort of, like, weird, not Girl Scout cookie stand outside of, like, a Safeway or something?
I mean, what if you stole them from Safeway? Then be effed up.
Well, no, they didn't steal them from Safeway. They stole them from the, like, from a warehouse.
So, oh, like, see, I missed that when I was on the phone.
You post up outside of a Safeway, like, one of those, like, giant trench coats. And if somebody's walking out, you just sort of open up your jacket and be like, "Hey, yo. What you need?"
I am upset by this.
By the way, who won those tickets?
Sam.
Sam, well, shout out to you, Sam. You're going to, honestly, a really sick show. I might have to go with you.
Oh.
I mean, dude, if you want a carpool, dope. Call me again, 253-833-5004, but I might just drive on my own because we have staff spots. Yeah. Last news story for this hour. Again, this is the depressing one, and this is that death I teased at the beginning of Geeky News. Debbie Reynolds died the day after her daughter Carrie Fisher's death.
I know.
Actress Debbie Reynolds, the star of 1952 classic movie Singin' in the Rain, has died one day after her daughter, actress-writer Carrie Fisher. Reynolds was 84. Her son Todd Fisher said Reynolds died on Wednesday. "She's now with Carrie, and we're all heartbroken," Fisher said. Oh,
I think everybody's heartbroken.
Right? He said the stress of his sister's death on Tuesday was too much for Reynolds. Carrie Fisher, who was 60, had been hospitalized since Friday.
That's so sad.
Reynolds enjoyed the very height of show business and success and during the depths of personal tragedy and betrayal. Lost one husband to Elizabeth Taylor and two other husbands plundered her for millions. Fisher, who found lasting fame as Princess Leia in Star Wars and struggled for most of her life with drug addiction and mental health problems, died after falling ill on a plane and being hospitalized. The thing that really got me is, like, they just said the name Debbie Reynolds, and I knew it was a famous older actress, but I couldn't quite peg why. And then, like, Singing in the Rain, yeah, that's the classic,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I love that movie.
Debbie Reynolds was also the grandma for, Halloween Town, yeah. I didn't know that.
Corey, can we watch Halloween Town? I know it's not Halloween time, but...
It doesn't matter.
It don't matter.
I mean, like, if you can watch A Nightmare Before Christmas on Halloween and for Christmas as a Christmas movie, you can watch Halloween Town whenever.
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the grandma from Halloween Town. She was a really sweet grandma, right?
She was the best.
Did you ever watch, like, Singing in the Rain at all?
I mean, as a musical theater kid, of course. Are you kidding me?
I just had to ask. Like, yeah, show me your musical theater card, man.
I do.
But you know what? That was your news for this hour. Again, a little depressing, but. What can you do? Luckily, we only have a couple more days left of 2016, and we're not on the air for either of them.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. We got Hash It Out coming up next. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG.
It's time to see what weird and crazy things are trending out there in the Twitterverse. This is Hash It Out, right here on The Buzz.
89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and it's time for Hash It Out. In case you didn't know... hashtags or hash it out is what we do is we discuss some of those, you know, hashtags that are trending. You know, the little thing that looks like a sharp?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're musically inclined and you're smart.
It's so sharp.
You're smart. Do another one. I don't know.
I don't know what's happening.
It's been a weird morning for me so far. But, we're going to talk about some of those hashtags that are trending out there. First one we got is we're going to talk about making a band ancient.
Yes.
Right? Because rock and roll doesn't sound primitive enough.
Yeah.
So, for example, we have hashtag make a band ancient, My Chemical Romance, Guns N' Roses, AC/DC,
Florence Nightingale and the Machine,
Betty White Stripes.
That's my favorite so far.
Smashing Pterodactyls.
The Grateful Dead Sea Scrolls.
We have Flock of Carrier Pigeons.
21 Chariot Drivers.
The Jackson V.
Oh my gosh.
Cause V for 5. Arcade Just Discovered Fire.
Arthritic Monkeys.
The Wu-Tang Dynasty.
Panic at the Ballroom.
Who else we got? Hey Hey, We're the Mummies.
Abraham Lincoln Park.
The Spice Trade Girls. And then one of my favorite ones, the Notorious B.I.G. Bang.
Oh gosh, that's good.
Next one we got is hashtag, you know what, we'll save that one for last. We'll do hashtag dude you're getting a blank. So you gotta fill in the blank with what a dude is getting.
Oh no.
For example, hashtag dude you're getting a little defensive. And you know what? Sometimes it's appropriate because you're hurting somebody's feelings, but at the same time, you gotta give a little leeway if you're being defensive, so. Especially if you're just hanging out with friends, sometimes you gotta back off a little bit. We also have...
I couldn't find this one.
Hashtag, dude, you're getting addicted to Twitter. Put down the hashtag and back away slowly. We also have hashtag, dude, you're getting adopted. Hashtag, dude, you're getting a free iPhone after your tweet gets hacked? Or hijacked? Hashtag, dude, you're getting a new friend, so please don't be weird.
Hashtag, dude, you're getting a court-ordered paternity test. Deal with it.
Oh, man!
Oh, man!
Hashtag, dude, you're getting a prostate exam? Yes, this is a Wendy's? You are correct. What does that have to do with anything? I don't want that. I don't want that at all.
Oh, hashtag dude, you're getting a Roadrunner Carbon Action 200 shot range model air rifle with compass in the stock and and this thing that tells the time.
Yeah.
I messed that up at the...
Hashtag dude, you're getting a weird look in your eyes. Stop staring at me.
I think this is a picture of Charlie Sheen with a perm, and I don't want to be here anymore.
Okay. Hashtag, dude, you're getting a little dumber every time I see you.
Oh, man.
Last one we have is hashtag New Year's Eve date requirements. So, hashtag New Year's Eve date requirements. Your mom can't pick us up and drop us off. I mean, hey. Be responsible, though.
Yeah.
Like, actual, like, designated driver? You can't knock that, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm okay with mom dropping me off and picking me up as long as she's just like my DD.
Yeah.
And like not trying to hang out with me.
Must enjoy kissing someone that tastes like champagne and regret.
Same. Must be willing to fall asleep with me on my couch at 10:30. You know what? The older I get, the more I can appreciate like not staying up until midnight. I haven't actually done the thing where you go out to a bar at midnight, like, party or whatever. Have you?
Wait, sorry, say it again.
So, like, have you done the thing where, like, you go out at midnight to, like, a bar or something, you party with everybody else, like, all the other bar goers?
Oh, yeah. But, like, not, like, I've just done that on a regular night, not New Year's Eve.
I'm always at, like, home or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Must bring cat treats.
Hashtag New Year's Eve date requirement. Make sure the bathroom floor has been cleaned and my pillow's ready when I sleep in there later. Fair.
Oh god, I don't want to say this next one. It scares me.
Hashtag New Year's Eve date requirement. More hot pockets.
Must be okay with poor decisions and a 3 a.m. pizza.
Yup.
Yup. That's just me every day.
Last one I got. Hashtag New Year's Eve date requirement. Must not die in the next 2 days.
Oh, buddy.
Right, though? I mean, at least Betty White's safe.
Yeah.
At least she's safe. That was Hash It Out on 89.9 KGRG. Our hashtags for this morning were, again, hashtag Make a Band Ancient. You had hashtag New Year's Eve date requirements. And hashtag Dude, you're getting a blank. That Dude, you're getting a blank one got a little morbid. We'll be back, though, after our Band of the Month. We're going to play a little Oakley Doakley on 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz. Let's see how well The Buzz crew knows their music. You gotta focus on the lyrics in your songs. It's time for the Mixtape Remix on 89.9 KGRG.
Go ahead on, break them off with a little previews of the remix.
.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. It's 7 o'clock on a Thursday. Holy cow, it's already Thursday.
Yeah.
So it's time to play Mixtape Remix, where I read the lyrics to some songs and Adanica has to guess the name of the artist and the name of the song.
Yeah.
Heads up, one of these, I legit couldn't, like, find an MP3 without paying for it. But, yeah, this one was surprising that I couldn't find the song for it. So, like, I'm going to read you the lyrics, but if you can't guess after that, I'll just tell you who it is.
Okay.
Just to give you a hint, it's going to be musicians who we lost this year.
Oh.
So, a little bit of a bummer. And one of these is fairly obvious. Weirdly enough, the one that I couldn't find the clip for.
Oh.
The other one, I completely forgot about.
Oh.
Which is a surprise, because I'm a huge fan. So, let's get into it, shall we?
Okay.
Remember, this is the one that doesn't have a hint. Dream, if you can, a courtyard. An ocean of violets in bloom. Animals strike curious poses. They feel the heat. The heat between me and you.
It's Prince.
It is Prince.
When doves cry.
It is. Good job, you got it. Yeah, I couldn't find, like, any usable clips on YouTube.
Okay, when you were reading that, I just, like, pictured you in a beret and, like, a weird, like, poetry reading.
I hope so. Like, with my little bongos or whatever?
Yeah. It was a weird time.
Couldn't find a clip of that on YouTube at all. Like, there were a lot of clips that claimed to be that song, but they weren't. Not at all. The closest I got was, like, a lyrics video with no music.
Oh.
But Prince passed away on April 21st, 2016. The emergency personnel were called to Prince's Chasen, Minnesota estate after receiving a call that someone was not breathing. The Purple Rain singer, who his real name was Prince Rogers Nelson, had been ill for weeks. He was just 57 when he passed away, apparently in his Palsy Park recording studio. Pioneer musician of Minneapolis sound, Prince combined soul, funk, rock, R&B, hip-hop, disco, jazz, and many other styles, and incredibly successful and critically acclaimed songs like When Doves Cry and Kiss. During his career, he won an Academy Award for Best Original Song Score, Purple Rain, a Golden Globe for Best Original Song, the Song of the Heart, and Happy Feet, and 7 Grammys. In June of 2016, the Medical Examiner's Office in Minnesota released the results of Prince's autopsy, where they determined his death was caused by accidental overdose of fentanyl, a very powerful painkiller.
Oh.
Right, though?
Sad.
So, RIP that guy. That one was a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, they're all pretty big bummers.
And, all right, here's the one that I completely spaced on and forgot that this dude died this year. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Step up to the bar, put the girl down. She takes a big gulp and slaps it around. You take a sip, you can do it, you get right to it. We had a case in the place, and we went right through it. You got a dry martini thinking you're cool. I'll take your place at the bar, I smack you off your stool. I down a 40 dog in a single gulp, and if you got beef, you'll get beat to a pulp. Monkey and parties and reeling and rocking, deaf, girls, all y'all jocking. The song and dance keeping you in a trance. If you don't buy my record, I got my advance. I drink it, I think it, I see it, I be it, and that's it.
It sounds familiar, but I just cannot think of what it is.
Do you want the hint?
Yeah.
The one I could actually freaking get?
Yeah.
All right, here you go. Maybe.
Sing it.
No.
Step up to the bar, put the girl down. Stick a big gulp and stuff it around. Take a sip, you can do it. Right, do it.
The Beastie Boys guy.
It is the Beastie Boys guy.
I can't think of his name, though. I don't know the name of the song, though.
You don't know the name of the song?
I know the song, I just don't know the name of it.
It's one of their most famous songs.
I'm really bad with song names.
It's Brass Monkey.
It's like a very weird part of it that's...
It's the part of the song that isn't the chorus.
I know.
I guess that's fair. Like, rap lyrics are hard, I guess?
Yeah.
But yeah, I completely forgot he died. It was John Barry. John Barry passed away at the young age of 51. A lot of, like, people passing away in their 50s and, like... I think Carrie Fisher was one of the oldest at, like, 60, which is weird. But he passed away at the age of 51. Barry was a founding member of the Beastie Boys, suffered from a frontal lobe dementia in his final days. Although Barry left the Beastie Boys after the release of their first EP, Pollywog Stew, in 1982, he is credited with coming up with the group's name. What's more, when the Beastie Boys were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2012, Adam Yauch, who was himself dying of cancer, wrote a speech honoring Barry of his important role in the forming of the group. Besides the Beastie Boys, Barry was also a member of other groups, including Even Worse, Big Fat Love, Highway Stars, and Bourbon Deluxe.
Oh, man.
And reading that one caught me off guard. Oh, man. Because I'm again, a really, really big Beastie Boys fan. And... man. I don't even know how to react.
I just
want to
crawl into a hole.
Too many people gone. Well, something that's going to be a little less depressing, we got The Price is Wrong coming up next after some Voodoo Glow Skulls on 89.9 KJRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
Thank you. Now, the time has come for us to embark on a quest into the great unknown. We shall scavenge the internet depths and discover its obscure trinkets and knickknacks and attempt to guess their worth.
Yeah!
Prepare your ears for...
The Price is Wrong, bitch.
Okay!
Contestants, come on down.
That's right, we're going to play The Price is Wrong. I found some really cool stuff on the internet.
Oh.
Danica, let's see how close you can get.
Okay.
Some of the stuff's kind of creepy. We'll start with the creepy one. How about that?
Okay.
You like creepy?
Yes.
You like candles?
Yes.
You like creepy candles?
Yes.
Dope. Because this first one is a melting cat candle.
Oh.
Yeah, right? Regular candles are boring. Add some flair to your candle arsenal with the Pyro Pet Melting Cat Candle. Watch as the candle melts and the metal bone structure of the cat inside is revealed. Burns for about 20 hours, so it'll give you plenty of time to slowly see this cat melt to its demise. So, like, as the candle wax is melting, there's, like, a cat skeleton inside this cat-shaped candle.
Mm-hmm.
So, after the candle's gone, you're just left with the skeleton. Much like every other murder. Would not recommend doing this to your cat.
No.
No, not at all. So, how much do you think this creepy cat melting candle is worth?
$20.
$20? I mean, you should know better, man. Candles are expensive. Especially one that comes with an... It's not an actual cat skeleton, but it's a pretty well-crafted cat skeleton. So, for a certain sum, you can get your very own melting cat candle that burns for about 20 hours, so it's plenty of time to watch this cat slowly melt for $39.99. So, we're going to roll...
$34.99. I've never spent more than, like, $25 on a candle.
I mean, neither have I, man, but I don't regularly buy candles. Like, I don't even like candles. They're... Candles freak me out.
Why?
Because I'm always paranoid, like, I'm gonna light one day and forget about it. Because that's something I would do.
Just don't forget about it.
How do you say don't forget about a thing? Like, if you're gonna forget about it, you're gonna forget about it.
Don't do it.
Like, I've forgotten about food in the oven before. That was a mistake.
Don't do it.
Okay. I won't then. Next item we got is a Millennium Falcon rug. Because rugs are also expensive. Holy cow.
I want it.
I mean, you do. Because, there's not a ton to say about this Millennium Falcon printed rug that you can't see in the picture, but you can't see the picture, so I'll describe it to you. It's a big, flat Millennium Falcon that looks great on your floor. Or if you DIY, with a little bit of work, you can have it as a tapestry on your wall. Perhaps if you get one for Jabba, he won't be hanging it on his wall. Frozen carbonite, of course. Speaking of the carbonite, if your floor is cold as carbonite, you'll definitely want to get a Millennium Falcon printed rug to protect your feet. And let's see here. Just to give you some dimensions, it is approximately 59 inches in length by 79 inches wide. It's 100% polyester, so it's kind of like the same material as like those old play mats with like the streets or whatever you used to play with cars on. It's officially licensed, so that's going to drive up the price a little bit. And it looks pretty realistic, man. It's like a top-down view, so you get the turret and stuff and the cockpit. Looks pretty dope. So how much for this Star Wars officially licensed large Millennium Falcon rug?
At least 100? Yeah.
You spending a hundo to lay that significant other down by the fireplace on your Millennium Falcon skin rug?
Yeah.
Yeah, girl. Well, for a certain sum, you can get your very sensual, extremely large Millennium Falcon rug for $90.
Oh,
no, I've never bought a rug before.
Rugs are expensive.
Yeah? Have you ever bought a rug?
No.
Like, I used to go to... I've been to a legit rug store before where, like, you'd have to flip through the giant book of, like, carpet samples or whatever, or, like, rug samples.
Okay, speaking of Millennium Falcon things, I just saw a picture of, like, a man cave that was modeled after the Death Star. And it looks amazing. Like, I want it.
I mean, why wouldn't you, though? Man caves are great.
Especially Death Star ones.
Alright, time for the showcase where I read three items. You have to guess the complete total. Two of these items are kind of related. The third one's just kind of cool. First item in the showcase is the Chef and Sweet Spot Instant Ice Cream Maker Lagoon Colored.
Oh.
That's right. Having fun making homemade ice cream, frozen yogurt, sorbets, margaritas, and more with the Chef and Sweet Spot Ice Cream Maker. Sweeten any meal with ice cream or sandwich between fresh baked cookies. It's easy and quick to use after... Using included recipes to fix ice cream mixture, pour into frozen sweet spot service. Mixture will begin to freeze instantly. Scoop and turn with included tools until ice cream forms. It's fun to use and the results are delicious. next time we have in the showcase is the homemade gin kit, because what goes better with ice cream than gin, right? Gin tastes gross, but whatever. Homemade gin kit contains everything you need to transform a generic bottle of vodka into a unique and delicious homemade blend of your very own gin. Features make 750-milliliter homemade gin, two 375-milliliter glass bottles, stainless steel funnel, and stainless steel strainer, one tin of juniper berries, and one tin of our secret botanical blend. Dimensions are about 14 inches by 4 inches by 4 inches. So it's not quite like make your own gin from scratch, because make your own like hard alcohol is illegal, but you get to turn vodka into gin, so.
Dope.
Decently cool, right? Last item in the showcase is a giant inflatable unicorn.
Oh.
Yeah, one of these things is not like the others. It's not a horse, it's not a zebra, it's your own 7-foot giant inflatable unicorn. You'll be the talk of the town for this far-out unicorn. You'll be the first in your neighborhood to have the mythical creature. With his pink hooves and colorful mane and tail, he'll be perfect guest anywhere. He's completely potty-trained and makes a great pet. Yeah. Who knew? Inflatable unicorn that won't pee all over your rug. It's going to make a great pet.
I just want all these things.
How much for your very own, like, make-your-own ice cream set, your turn vodka into gin set, and a giant inflatable unicorn?
I'm gonna say, like, 360.
Damn! So, these, like, the kits themselves aren't large. But
like, a 7-foot inflatable unicorn is probably gonna be a lot.
For a certain sum, you can get your very own make your own ice cream set, your very own turn vodka into gin. And your very own 7-foot-tall inflatable unicorn for $159.
It was potty trained. I was like,
the potty train did cost you extra.
Yeah.
But
I know, I heard juniper, and I was like, that's probably like $100 right there.
I've never eaten a juniper berry, so
I didn't either. But like, it just sounds like it's for rich people,
right? Though. That's been The Price Is Wrong on 89.9 KGRG FM. Stay tuned. We got your news coming up next. And your first chance to win this wildlife tickets. You're listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
The Stars News is brought to you by KGRG Presents This Wildlife on January 14th, 2017. That sounds crazy to say. At El Corazon, you get a pair of tickets. It's going to be fun. Do it. Call us right now.
Right? If you don't want to go to This Wildlife, you don't have any emotions, and you're probably a robot. So, yeah, we welcome our robot overlords. But otherwise, if you want to go to the show, it's going to be a little bit of a feelsy show. But it's going to be a really good one. Some of those feelsy shows are my favorite. Feels.
Yeah.
All right, so time for this hour's news, and we're going to get a little less depressing this hour. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah. We're not going to visit Halloween Town, which is, I guess, depressing, but at least nobody died?
Yeah.
I can say that about this news break?
Yeah.
But let's get into it with a 6-year-old who used their sleeping mom's thumb to go on an Amazon shopping spree.
All right.
Gifts were sent to a family in Arkansas, all thanks to a crafty 6-year-old. Ashlyn Howe loves Pokemon, so just before Christmas, she had a little bit of a childhood ingenuity kick in. She took her mom's thumb, who was sleeping, and used it to unlock an iPhone. Then she went on a little Amazon shopping spree. The total haul was $250 worth of Pokemon toys. Her mom thought she had been hacked and everything was delivered to her home. Then Ashlyn fessed up. She said she went shopping. She wound up getting to keep most of the toys. If I did this, my mom would literally murder me.
Yeah.
Like, this is,
and, like, rightfully so.
Right? $250?
Yeah.
Holy cow. But this is the 2016 equivalent of, like, stealing your parents' debit or credit card,
mm-hmm.
and then calling one of those, like, TV phone numbers, like those infomercials.
Yeah.
I've never actually done one of those, and I've never met anybody who has. Have you? Like, do you know anybody who's actually bought stuff off the TV?
No.
Even QVC?
My ex-boyfriend was, like, all about the QVC. Like, because you could buy electronics and stuff. Like, I don't know.
I've made drinking games out of watching the QVC, but I've never actually bought anything off of it, luckily. But, oh. Yeah, again, my mom would murder me, and I want to know how this kid managed to get her mom's... Oh, she just took the mom's thumb. Like, this kid's going to grow up to be, like, some sort of serial thief or something.
Yeah.
They're too smart, man. They're getting too smart. Next news, we got a giant rooster statue erected in China. Looks a lot like Donald Trump. A statue erected in front of a shopping mall in the Chinese province of Taiyuan looks just like President-elect Donald Trump, reports CBS News. And you know what? People are loving it, man. It's like this giant... I'm not quite sure how to describe it. We'll try to find a picture of it and post it up on our Facebook. But people are loving it. The statue is meant to herald the dawning of the Chinese New Year of the rooster, so it's kind of relevant. The statue's designer said the piece was directly inspired by Trump's significant gestures to his hair. The piece was commissioned by the company that owns the mall and will be the mall's mascot. So this chicken isn't going away anytime soon. And it's got, like, really angry-looking eyebrows, and he's poting up, and he looks he's a very distraught chicken. And he's got, like, gold hair or whatever. It's pretty dope-looking.
It sounds pretty dope.
But to turn your, like, to make this the mascot of your mall, that's pretty ballsy.
Yeah.
So good to them, man. Good on them. Last news story we have, an NYPD cop was suspended after posting a humiliating Christmas photo of Brooklyn family cuffed on Snapchat. Oh,
wait,
man.
What?
Yeah.
Say that again?
A New York Police Department cop was suspended after posting humiliating Christmas photos of a Brooklyn family cuffed on Snapchat.
That's creepy.
Right? A Brooklyn woman said she became the butt of a Yuletide joke on an NYPD officer after an NYPD officer posted a picture of her handcuffed on social media with the caption, "Merry Christmas, it's the NYPD." Kimberly Santiago, 28, said the photo that was posted on Snapchat app shows her relatives being detained as warranted squad cops rummaged through her Dumont Avenue apartment in Brownsville on Thursday morning. Oh my god, when I saw that, I just said, man, this whole time this guy was recording this, like, we were a joke.
Yeah.
She told the Daily News, one cop stood watching the group from the front door, typing on his phone, she recalled. Hours later, a friend sent her another picture posted on the site. A second photo popped up a few hours later. It was another Snapchat of the handcuffed family. It read, "Warrant sweeps, it's still a party, shake my head." Could you imagine that? Like, this is the police posting this on Snapchat, and this is a family who got arrested on New Year or on Christmas.
That's weird.
It's warranted or whatever, but taking the photos isn't warranted.
Yeah.
And making jokes like that, this isn't a joking matter. This is pretty serious.
Yeah, that's...
Jerk move, New York. Jerk move.
It's a jerk move.
That's your news for this hour. If you want to win those This Wildlife tickets, it's a pair of them. Call us at 253-833-5004. We're probably the only place that's going to hook you up with these free tickets, man. Otherwise, for this show, you're going to have to buy them. And it's going to be a really, really, really awesome show. So that's 253-833-5004 for free This Wildlife tickets. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG.
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with The Buzz.
Hi.
Hi there. Hi, Danica. 89.9 KGRG FM, you're listening to The Buzz. And we actually had a winner for our This Wildlife tickets. Danica, who won?
His name is Greg. What's up, Greg?
Does he drink Bailey's from his shoe?
I don't know, maybe.
Greg, call me at 253-833-5004. Let me know if you do drink Bailey's from a shoe or if you're just tired of that joke and you want to kill me. Either way, it's cool. But yeah, it's time for our six pack, which is our top six list. Things are awesome, occasionally not so awesome. And Danica, you got this one this morning, right?
Yeah.
So what are we talking about?
Creepy abandoned theme parks.
Like, Wild Waves isn't abandoned yet, but that one already creeps me out.
Why?
Because somebody died there, man.
When?
This year.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, man, somebody drowned in, like, the wave pool or something.
I was drowned in one of the water slides in 06.
Oh.
Yep.
How'd that go for you?
I mean, I'm alive still, so, I mean, it worked out.
That's cool. Yeah, somebody straight up died at the Wild Waves in Federal Way.
Oh.
Right? But yeah. Now, I kind of wanted to go for, like, the Christmas thing they're doing with the Christmas lights and, like...
I've done that. That
I sounds... wanted to go for, like, the Halloween thing, and I'm just like, dude, somebody died in that, though.
But then, but, like, the wave pool would be closed, so...
Still, though, that Wild Waves is haunted!
It I mean, be, I if know, you man. Decided not to go places where people have died, like, just don't go anywhere, really.
Fair. Let's get into the six-pack.
So, number six... is President's Park in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Okay.
So in February 2016, like this is recent, images emerged of a farm in Virginia littered with 43 giant busts of former U.S. presidents, the remnants of a failed theme park in the state. After President's Park near Williamsburg, I can't talk, went belly up in 2010, Howard Hankins began taking the busts out to his 400-acre farm some 10 miles away. This process took a week, and it cost around $50,000, which each of the presidents weighing up to 9,000 kilograms.
Why would you want to go to a theme park that's basically just a
ride? Just a bunch of statues.
Well, it's basically just a ride at Disneyland, right? Like, there's that famous Disneyland ride of, like, going through and seeing all the animatronic presidents.
Yeah. No, yeah. these are like giant statues. Like, they're not even animatronic. They're just giant statues.
Who needs that? I don't need that.
Not even like the full body, just the bus. It says he has launched a crowdfunding page to help restore the heads and open a new park. The plan is to open a new museum and relocate these statues to a place where they can be seen by all. The GoFundMe page seeking $500,000, he explains.
I mean, dude, you should just open up a museum.
Yeah.
If that, like...
Don't call it a theme park.
No.
Some of the 20-foot sculptures are missing vital parts with ears or noses. And, oh God, the Lincoln sculpture has a gaping hole in the back of his head.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Man, I just got that. Why?
Yeah. But there are nevertheless plans to revive the idea. Hankins also wants to include exhibits of the White House... America's First Ladies, and a spy and covert operations center.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh my.
Yeah. So that was that one. Number five. This one's kind of sad. Six Flags, New Orleans, Louisiana.
I didn't know they had a Six Flags. I've been to a Six Flags before. I had a bit of a headache while I was there, but I still had fun.
Like, it just looks depressing. So, Hurricane Katrina crippled New Orleans over a decade ago, but in some parts of the area, the devastation looks like it occurred only yesterday. The Six Flags theme park is one such example. Photographer Steph Lawless has chilling images that show the once lively park has gone virtually untouched since the storm hit. Everything's still intact. You can see where the people would wait in long lines, the roller coasters, snow cone stands, and souvenir shops, and even the Ferris wheel is still there. And it's decaying in some parts. Like, it's just, it's really depressing. Lawless even spotted an alligator while in the park. A lot of floodwaters were trapped there, so alligators are out there, and at least some are 10 or 12 feet long. The derelict theme park was the setting for the box office smash reboot Jurassic World. Because it was in such a bad condition, a crew of 400 people built a new backdrop of the grounds to bring out the modern world meets Jurassic World feel of the movie.
So, like, crocodiles or alligators or whatever aside, could you imagine going there and, like, playing hide-and-go-seek or like, paintball or something?
That'd be crazy.
Right? That'd be sick. Just running around shooting each other and, like, hiding in old rides? That'd be sick.
Like, it's, like, the whole park is, like, just floating, like, on the water. It's, like, really weird.
Like, is there just standing water everywhere, or is there, dry patches where you can run around?
I mean, I'll show you the picture, man. It's... I mean, there's, like, dry patches, but, like, it looks like you have to get there by a boat.
So just, like, bring your scuba equipment and your hydroplane?
Yeah.
I'd still go. It'd be fun. Just, again, sands, alligators, or crocodiles, or whatever they have.
Yeah.
All right, so what's number four?
Number four. Discovery Island and River Country, Bay Lake, Florida. So just east of the Magic Kingdom and Walt Disney World, Florida, is Bay Lake. And in the middle of the lake is an island that Disney won't let anyone set foot on. Discovery Island is home to an abandoned theme park. Just across the water is another deserted park, River Country. These are the only Disney parks to close permanently. Discovery Island was a nature reserve from 1974 to 1999, and River Country was a theme park operated from 1976 to 2001. Why did the parks close? Well, Disney remains mum, but some believe it was to do with the lake itself. New Florida laws prohibit the use of natural water bodies, requiring chlorination, and only municipal water supplies for park water use. For water park use. According to Ruin Nation, a blog of abandoned places in the United States and beyond, the deadly, some weird, bacteria, I can't pronounce it, is said to be alive in the River Country's park water during the hot summer months. This could also have added to the reasoning of the park's final season. So just, super poison dead water that'll get you is why the park is closed.
Super poison's gonna eat your face off dead water?
Yeah.
There's something about, old, shut down, creepy Disney stuff that always sounds super interesting to me. I'm not sure why.
I wanna check this blog out.
But I'd go. I'd go to a creepy abandoned Disney island. That'd be sick.
Yeah.
But that was 6, 5, and 4 of our six pack. We still have the other half, so stay tuned on 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
And now, back to the six-pack.
89.9 KGRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz. We're in the middle of our six-pack on KGRG-FM. KGRG-FM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP Seminary Lake Taps.
Yeah.
89.3 FM. Yeah. So, Danica, what is our six-pack, and what was number 6, 5, and 4?
So, it's abandoned, creepy theme parks.
And yeah. You showed me some of the pictures. The Six Flag one was a little more underwater than I thought it was.
Yeah.
The 20-foot tall statues, which, until you actually see the pictures, you don't realize how giant they are.
They're huge.
I thought those would be inside, but no, those are just, outside in a field.
No, yeah, they're in a field, because they're, as big as your house.
But still down to go play around on Haunted Disney Island.
Down to clown.
But let's go ahead and get into number three.
So number three is Keijanuma Leisure Land in Tohoku, Japan.
Who's your what land now?
Keijanuma Leisure Land in Tohoku, Japan.
Sure.
I probably pronounced that terribly. Is this theme park cursed? Some people believe so. Keijanuma Leisure Land in Tohoku, Japan attracted hundreds of thousands of children each year, boasting an amusement park, a campsite, and a driving range. Visitor numbers started to decline in the late 90s, and by 2000, Keijanuma closed its doors, in part due to Japan's low birth rate and economic collapse. But according to the Japan Times, the theme park was built next to the site of the Pond of the Ghost Woman.
Ooh.
An ancient myth, which could have been a factor in its premature close.
Now, when it comes to Japanese cursed stuff, I ain't messing around with that.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
No, ma'am.
cursed monkey palms, old dude, the old dude who sold the dad the gremlin. He was an old Japanese dude, man. I don't mess around with that.
Yeah, no.
No.
Don't buy anything from old Japanese men.
Especially if they say it's cursed. Like a theme park.
Yeah.
That was incredibly racist, and I'm sorry. Oh, man. I feel bad.
Number two Atlantis Marine Park in Two Rocks, Australia.
Wait, is this like the last theme park of Atlantis?
I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
Atlantis Marine Park sits 60 kilometers north of Perth in the small fishing town of Two Rocks. It was built in 1981 and it was part of an ambitious plan for a resort and residential area called Yanchep Sun City, a proposed satellite city to support Perth's growing population. The park was initially a huge success with families from Western Australia who flocked to the park to watch live dolphin shows, swim, ride paddle boats, and have their obligatory photo with King Neptune, the statue at the entrance. But despite the popularity of Atlantis, the area's financial boom never occurred, and in 1987, the stock market crash put a halt to any prosperity. Just 9 years after opening, the park shut its doors. Atlantis has been damaged by vandals, has become overgrown and derelict. In 2015, however, King Neptune was restored to his former glory after a petition by locals demanding something be done with the ruins. Volunteers cleared the gardens, fixed the broken fences, and the park is now open to the public on weekends.
That's dope.
That's really cool.
Right, though?
The site is currently owned by the Finney Group, and a plan has been put forward to develop the area into a mix of retail, commercial, and public open spaces, including the preservation of King Neptune.
Well, I hope they keep the paddle boats, because I love paddle boats.
Paddle boats be dope.
I'm not sure why, but I love me some paddle boat action. Some hot foot on pedal, running around a little pond.
Yes.
It's hot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Woo! So, number one. The Land of Oz in Beech Mountain, North Carolina.
Oh, man. I couldn't do this. I am not the biggest fan of The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, especially a creepy abandoned one.
It's not...
Like, there's a picture, and the Yellow Brick Road looks like just nightmares are about to happen to you.
Yeah, it's not that they're bad movies. They're really well-made movies, especially for, like, when they were made. Yeah. But I've watched the first one, and I've watched when she returns to the Land of Oz. No, thank you.
I've never seen the return one.
It's just as creepy. Like, you have, like, instead of monkeys with wings, you have, like, monkeys on rollerblades now.
Oh, God.
I don't need either of that.
The Land of Oz is located in Beech Mountain, North Carolina. The 1970s theme park was abandoned less than 10 years after it opened. Entrepreneur Grover Robbins dreamed up the theme park as a way of attracting families and money to the resort town. He was indeed onto something. In its heyday, the theme park attracted up to 20,000 visitors a day, but Robbins never lived to see them. He died at 50 of bone cancer only 6 months before the park opened in 1970. Tragedy continued to beset the park. A fire destroyed the Emerald City and part of the museum collection, including dresses that were worn by Judy Garland in the movie.
Oh, man.
Yeah, sad. Visitor numbers started to dwindle, and finally, 10 years after its opening day, the Land of Oz closed its gates. All hope is not lost, however. In the 1990s, Project Emerald Mountain was started up by a group of kind-hearted volunteers who have slowly restored the park. While it's still somewhat derelict, tourists are welcome to going in search of the Emerald City. Oz is also the home to a two-day festival each year with a guided tour through the park, a picnic at Dorothy's Kansas Farmhouse, and for additional $100, a whirlwind visit from Dorothy herself.
Where's this place again?
In Beech Mountain, North Carolina.
Dude, let's go.
Yeah.
We can go hit up Dollywood, too, on the way.
Yes!
But, yeah, that movie creeps me out, so walking around, like, a creepy, derelict, like, what... Oz would be just insane.
I'm gonna dress up as a monkey.
Why? But, like, could you imagine playing, like, Blair Witch Project in that place?
Oh, God.
And run around, like, all shaky cam or, like, playing hide-and-go-seek? I don't know, man. Like, I really want to go to these torn-down, it'd almost be, like, a post-apocalyptic thing, man, where you're just, like, running around, torn down.
Yeah.
But... It doesn't sound like being a theme park owner is a very lucrative business. Even Wildlife's
up. According to this.
Well, even Wildlife's up here. Like, they were independently owned for a while, and then they got bought out by Six Flags. They're actually a Six Flags property.
Yeah, I knew that.
So, Yeah, I couldn't imagine owning a theme park. It just sounds like a really expensive way to go broke. But that was our six pack this morning. If you want to chime in, if you've been to a creepy theme park, or if Wizard of Oz freaks you out as much as it freaks me out, call us at 253-833-5004. Make a song request. We might still have a couple of tickets back here to hand out. We'll see. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG. We got something coming up next.
Oh,
stay tuned and find out. KGRG 89.9 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and that was Bad Catholics by the Menzingers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but since this is our last show before the new year.
Because we're getting lit.
Yup. Figured, you know what, let's do the, like, resolutions talk. Because there's nothing that annoys me more than all of those new year, new me. Ugh.
Yeah.
I get on Facebook and that's all I see for like a couple of days on
Facebook.
Do you
make resolutions?
I actually did at one point. Like, I tried, and then after the first few times I realized how futile it was.
Yeah.
And like after watching some other people around me just sort of like say it, it's sort of become one of those things where like you say you're gonna do it, but nobody's gonna actually hold you to it.
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna hold you to it, nobody has a gun to your head, and nobody's even really expecting you to follow through with it.
Yeah.
I found a list of the most common ones from 2015 according to Nielsen, who actually does radio ratings and whatnot. If you want to find out all about radio ratings and more, go on to greenriver.edu, sign up for Journalism 110 at Green River College.
And then you can, like, intern on our show.
Yeah, if you want to do that.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
We're cool people.
I interned. Look at me now. I'm sorry.
Me too. I'm sorry. I messed you up real bad. Oh, man, I feel awful now. Thanks. All right, so... According to Nielsen, some of the top 2015 resolutions were stay fit and stay healthy, lose weight, I guess those sort of go the same, yeah. Enjoy life to the fullest, whatever.
Oh, God.
Spend less, save more, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Spend more time with family and friends, or you could just be at home alone watching Netflix.
I mean, my New Year's resolution is to watch even more TV.
Get organized.
That's not a bad one.
I'm organized as it is. But here's the deal. I'm so organized that if people move things from where I left them, I can't find them again. I don't flip out. They turn invisible. And it bugs the hell out of my coworkers. Because especially my weekend job, I'll place something down or like put something in a specific place, like a project or something, and come back. And they'll, like, rearrange or have cleaned, quote-unquote, and, like, move stuff around,
mm-hmm.
which is really terrifying when you come back to work after not being there for, like, 5 days.
I bet.
And, like, I'm just like, where's the thing? They're just like, oh, it's right there. Why didn't you see it? And because you moved it!
You dummy.
I may look messy, but, man, I got a system.
All right.
Next we got, will not make any resolutions. You can't call that a resolution.
It's not a resolution. That's just like...
We have learn something new or a new hobby.
That's a good one, I think.
I'm not sure you can call that a resolution, though, because,
no,
like...
No, but, like, I don't know. It's just always good to, like, have more skills and, like, just learn something. It keeps you sharp. Keeps you on your toes.
I'm not arguing
and,
that.
And, like, and it's not, like, I'm just going to have to eat a bunch of salad because I'm a fatty and I got to lose weight. Like, I think, like, you're, like, if you want to learn a new language or learn to play guitar or something, like, that's actually more fun and I feel like people would, like, stick to that more.
But compared to some of the other resolutions, though, like, stay fit and healthy. What, once you get, so you have to get fit and then you have to stay fit. And, like, you have to get healthy and you have to stay healthy. With learning a new hobby... You can learn a new hobby in, like, a month. Like, you might not be good at it or, like, be
pro
or whatever.
Yeah, but then you take the rest of the year to, like, really practice or whatever and get good at it.
But as soon as you learn it, you're done.
You never stop learning, Corey. You never stop.
Travel more. Good luck. I've wanted, like, traveling is one of those things I thought was really cool because of, like,
the Uncharted games. Do you know I'm too broke to travel to, like... anywhere other than Kent and Auburn. Like,
but like those games where like you're, or like even Tomb Raider, where you go around the world and you go to cool places. And
I don't think that counts as traveling more.
I'm not saying I'm traveling in the game, but like traveling, like that sounds fun.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I'm not gonna go around shooting people because that's terrifying. That's how you get shot. But
yeah.
Traveling to, like, jungles and stuff and not getting Zika would be
cool. Welcome to the jungle.
Read more.
Yeah.
That one's a little bit more doable because, like, Kat, she's been reading fan fiction on her phone.
What a reading machine she is.
Yeah, she's just like, I'm just like, what are you doing? You on Tumblr or whatever? No, I'm reading fan fiction. Granted, fan fiction's creepy AF, but...
it's so creepy.
For her. The top... go-to low-calorie or diet foods for the resolutions were fresh fruit, raw vegetables, popcorn, snack bars, diet shakes. So that's what people are trying to do.
I love all of those but diet shakes.
Popcorn's delicious, especially when you add salt and butter and whatnot to it and make it unhealthy.
Just sea salt, man. Just sea salt.
But out of all of those, the one that I actually thought about doing at one point was, like, getting fit. Because after high school... Well, after junior high, actually, I stopped doing sports. So I went from being able to run a mile in like 5 minutes, or I even got to like 4:30 at one point, to not being able to run a mile at all.
Speedy Corey.
And then in high school, I made the mistake of waiting to do all of my PE credits until my senior year.
Oh, God.
Really easy, like, workload. I didn't have any homework, and like, it was great.
But you wanted to die?
But I wanted to die. Like, the first semester, because we did in semesters, my first quarter class, so first class I did in the morning was weightlifting. So you get all swole first thing in the morning, you get all sweaty, and you spend the entire day sweaty, and then my last class of the day was swimming.
You had swimming class?
I had swimming class. I learned how to swim.
I'm jealous.
It was pretty dope, and like, swimming. I learned some pretty cool swimming tricks, like how to make a flotation device out of your jeans. That was pretty dope. But
that's cool.
Man, that chlorine wrecked my hair. But again, at the end of that year, because I ended up taking another PE class the next semester, so I took three PE classes total that year, I was freaking swole.
I can imagine.
I was in the best shape of my freaking life, and I kind of missed that. And now I can barely run down the street.
I can barely get off the couch.
So that'd be one that, you know, like, getting back in shape would be one. Thursday's always telling me, you're shape, you don't need to work out, but I'm not the shape I want to be in, man. What about you, Danica?
Well, see, I work at a gym, so New Year's resolutions are going to F up my life.
Oh, this is your first, like, January working at
your
work.
Yeah, and I'm very scared.
Like, you're gonna get super busy for like 2 weeks.
It's gonna be like Black Friday, like for a very extended amount of time, and I'm scared.
I'm excited for you. Like, you should take pictures of the weirdo of the day or something.
I'm just gonna hide in Baby Fight Club.
So hit us up at 253-833-5004 or at the Buzz KJRG on Facebook and on Twitter, even Instagram. Let us know. How are you lying to yourself? What are you saying your New Year's resolution is? We'll be back with the news after a little bit of SpongeCorn 89.9 KJRG. You're listening to The Buzz. I don't know what that was. Oh, found it. Danica, I found it. I found it, Danica. Now we're going to play SpongeCorn.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by Andrea's mom, because she gave me pumpkin pie, and I just ate some of it, and it was yummy.
Andrea's mom's pie. Nice.
Yes.
All right, it's time for the 8 o'clock news. Or at least it's 8:30 or whatever, man. Unless you're listening to this on demand using the official KJRGFM app or KJRG.com.
It's whatever time you want it to be.
Right? It's probably like 3:52.
It's lit o'clock is what it is.
Yup. I don't know, man. call us while you're listening on demand at 253-833-5004. And then tweet at us at TheBuzzKGRG and let us know who picked up so we know what time you're calling.
Yeah.
Super elaborate. I don't know.
What's going on? I'm scared.
You know, it's to the point of the show where I want to kill myself. It's fun.
Yeah.
First news story we got... that is not what I wanted at all.
Oh. Okay.
Yep.
Little buddy.
Seattle's hacker houses are growing in popularity is what I wanted to say.
Wait, what?
Yeah, apparently they're a thing. From the outside, only vague signs of what is inside a Seattle Northlake home is the higher-end key entry. It's a small indication of those living inside have technology on their mind.
This makes me think of, like, that house in Silicon Valley. A show, not the place, but the show, where, like, they're all just, like, working on their company.
Well, there are these things called hacker houses, which are popular in San Francisco area as places for those in tech to live cheaply and work on their projects, companies, and other applications. However, in Seattle, they're precious few. Prices can range from $45 to $65 a night, and it's kind of like Airbnb, except for people who are into technology. The renters are screened to make sure they fit the mold of professional, supportive tech environment. While the homes are full of Wi-Fi, power supply, board games, and computers and books, there's no television and no partying. Instead, the home hosts meetups to collaborate ideas and projects. Grok Home recently opened its fourth hacker house.
Oh.
The idea of Airbnb has always intrigued me a little bit, just where, like, you go to another city and you just sort of stay in somebody's house for a minute.
It's so weird to me.
Right? The fact that somebody lives there, but people are starting to just sort of buy properties and make up Airbnbs and they don't actually live there. But it'd be cool. I'm not sure I could live with other people and only work. Like, I'd want to be on vacation and actually partying or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, to each their own. Next news story we got, I didn't know this was a thing, but online campaign pays off late lunch fees for students. I didn't know there was such thing as late lunch fees.
What is that?
Back in the day when I was in elementary school or, like, high school or even junior high, man, like, if you wanted to buy lunch, you had to have the money up front. Those lunch ladies don't mess around. But in Bellevue, late lunch fees are an issue for local school districts that, on a regular basis. So far this year, overdue lunch payments have added up to $5,563 for Everett School District, $12,176 for Tacoma Public Schools, and $23,049 for Seattle Public Schools.
Ooh.
There are students in Washington State who take part in the federal program that offers free or reduced price lunch. However, the students who don't qualify for that program or who might be a little tight on lunch money are the ones the Boo Gunderson set out to help out. He says that he was inspired by some of his Twitter followers. He saw a tweet by Ashley C. Ford on Twitter and thought that it was something he could do, he said. Ford's tweet read, quote, "A cool thing you can do today is try to find out what your local schools have kids with overdue lunch accounts and pay them off."
I never had to worry about lunch money.
Yeah, again, it was just sort of something that you just sort of did.
Well,
you had the money up front, right?
Well, my mom was, like, a single mom, and, like, I was younger, so, like, we qualified for free and reduced.
My mom was a big pack-your-lunch person.
I was, like, the most lit days are when I got to bring Lunchables, just saying.
I never get to bring Lunchables. She was the super healthy, always whole wheat bread type. And I ate a lot of mustard.
I hate mustard.
I'm offended.
I only like honey mustard. Only honey mustard.
That's even worse. What's wrong with you? Oh my god.
I just don't like it.
No, like, yellow mustard's up there, and then you got, like, Dijon, like, spicy brown mustard.
Poupon.
Or, like, gray poupon. Or, like, what's really good is if you ever go to a legit pretzel stand, and you get that, like, homemade stone ground mustard to go with your pretzel, ooh, girl. You can keep that honey mustard bull honky.
Man, I dip my nuggets in it, and it's lit.
No! I am offended. I'm sorry.
call us at 253-833-5004 and tell us how you feel about mustard.
Oh my god, where did that come from? Last news story, luckily it has nothing to do with mustard, but it does have to do with lunch.
Oh god.
A sandwich and coffee cup tied the peanut butter and jelly burglar to 6 incidents in Wyoming.
What?
Police in Wyoming said that a half-eaten sandwich left behind by a suspect dubbed the PB&J burglar helped tie the man to at least 6 recent burglaries. The Cheyenne Police Department said that Zach Munoz, 26, allegedly left behind a half-eaten peanut butter and jelly sandwich during a September 2nd burglary at a local business called Four Rivers Equipment in East Cheyenne. The business was targeted 2 more times, September 10th and September 15th, before DNA evidence and the sandwich was linked to Munoz, who the department nicknamed the PB&J burglar. The department said Munoz was also accused of burglaries at the Frontier Mall's JCPenney store on September 17th and September 24th. And November 1st, investigators used a coffee cup left behind during one of the JCPenney burglaries and was found to bear the same DNA as the sandwich. So, homeboy, your first crime is not finishing your gosh darn sandwich.
Finish your GD food.
Put some meat on your bone, son.
Put some jelly on there, too.
Like, don't leave evidence, you idiot. Let alone a half-eaten sandwich. There are starving kids in Africa. There are kids who aren't able to pay for their lunch and had to have some dude set up a GoFundMe account. And there you are leaving half-eaten sandwiches around. I am more offended now.
It's selfish.
How dare you? But also, like, robbing the same place 3 times? You're just kind of an idiot. Yeah. And I won't feel bad when you get caught.
It's real dumb.
That was a very angry news segment from me. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG. We'll be back after Fly by Sleeping with Sirens. Cardinals by the Wonder Years on 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz, but the construction crew is finally starting to, like, kick us out.
Yeah.
We got to hold off for, like, a couple more minutes,
don't
man.
Kick me out of my own home!
Get out of my swamp!
Get off my swamp!
Are we going to have to sing this like Shrek now? Or are we doing like Barry White Shrek? Get out of my swamp, girl. That was like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Get out of my swamp, girl.
I can't do anything.
No? So long, girl. I don't know what's going on.
Farewell.
Auf Wiedersehen, goodbye. Goodbye.
I'm done.
Oh my god, I need to go home. We actually gotta go get ready. It's Thursday's birthday today, so if you follow around,
we gonna get lit.
Go say like happy birthday or Merry Christmas or something cool. I don't know.
Send her potatoes through the mail.
Do it. She'll actually eat them. We made a mistake with potatoes that we'll never make again, except I made that mistake with grilled cheese sandwiches last night.
Oh my god, make me one.
It was interesting, but that's a story from another time. If you missed any part of this show or any of our past shows, visit kjrg.com. Do yourself a favor. Click that shows tab and click on the buzz tab. You can catch all of our episodes there, whether it's this one or any of our past episodes. It's a pretty slick looking website too. You can also download the free KGRG FM website, click that on demand section, and listen to us wherever you go. But until next week, Wednesday morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. This has been The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG. We'll see you next year.